Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a Dublin GP says there is no evidence that the reopening of schools has caused a rise in COVID cases. The Health Minister says no private school should have received vaccines from a private hospital. The Health Minister hasn't ruled out regional restrictions into the future. Stephen Donnelly has confirmed a more targeted approach may be taken to tackle COVID surges in places like South Innishowen. He also said county by county restrictions are still very much on the table. Meanwhile, Atlantis councillor says there are fears locally of a repeat of high COVID cases and deaths like the aftermath of Christmas if restrictions are eased too soon. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. All that to follow, but first, this evening, latest Central Statistics Office figures show that 147 people with COVID have lost their lives in Donegal since the pandemic began. An additional 4 deaths were recorded since the 5th of March. The median age of the deceased remains at 83. The figures cover the period up to the 19th of March. They show that 8,863 people have been diagnosed with COVID-19 in Donegal, with the median age of cases falling from 39 to 38. North of the border, no COVID-related deaths have been recorded today. That's the third day in a row that's happened. 181 new cases of COVID-19 were confirmed there this afternoon. A Dublin GP says there is no evidence that the reopening of schools has caused a rise in COVID cases. NPHET yesterday reported COVID cases among children have increased by as much as 60% since February. But Dr. Ray Wally says the rise is because much more testing is being carried out.
Our referral rate has greatly increased in the younger children and young adults. And as a result of that, the positivity rate hasn't gone. There is no evidence of the positivity rate in the school setting gone up. Certainly, the cumulative numbers have gone up, but not the positivity rate.
The Health Minister says no private school should have received vaccines from a private hospital. Stephen Donnelly was responding to the Beacon Hospital's decision to give leftover vaccines to 20 teachers and staff from St. Jude's, a private school in County Wicklow, on Tuesday. Creche workers at the Beacon were also administered leftover vaccines. The facility has apologised for distributing vaccines outside of the HSC's sequencing guidelines. The HSC's Chief Operations Officer, Dr. Colm Henry, says the priority list must be adhered to.
It is frustrating, this story, and I'll be honest with you. And I notice, as I said, I note that the Beacon have apologised and acknowledged that they breached those very guidelines that we sent out in January to all hospitals, all vaccination centres, making it clear that whatever the difficulties people have with these vials and drawing them up and having doses at the end of a vial, they must keep reserve lists and must adhere to that hierarchy.
EU regulators will allow the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine to be transported and stored in cooler temperatures to speed up its rollout. The EMA says vials can be stored at temperatures between minus 25 to minus 15 degrees Celsius for a one-off period of 2 weeks. It says reducing the need for ultra-low temperature storage throughout the supply chain will allow rapid distribution of the vaccine in the EU. Meanwhile, the EMA has also approved 3 new manufacturing sites to produce vaccines for AstraZeneca, Moderna and Pfizer. The Health Minister hasn't ruled out regional restrictions into the future. On today's 9 till noon show, Stephen Donnelly confirmed to Greg Hughes that a more targeted approach is being considered to tackle the COVID surge in South Innishowen. It now has the second highest incidence rate in the country. Minister Stephen Donnelly said local initiatives and county by county restrictions are still all very much on the table.
The kind of questions I'm asking is, well, if Innishowen has the second highest rate, what do we need to do? Well, let's look at whether or not we put in walk-in PCR testing. Mm. Also, we need to be engaging with the local employers, local chambers of commerce, and with the local groups as well, to just get that message out that says, look, what's happening? What's happening is we're seeing a really encouraging drop in cases in a lot of areas, healthcare settings, in nursing home settings, and now with the older groups who've been vaccinated. Unfortunately, that is being offset, and in some areas more than offset, by an increase in cases due to increased mobility, increased social interactions. So one of the messages we're trying to get out is to say, look, we know this has been tough. We know people are exhausted and fed up. The vaccine program is going well. It needs a bit more time. So if you don't need to commute to work, don't.
When we ease these things, do you, will it always be on a 26 county basis, or do you anticipate situations whereby we might have to do it regionally?
Do you know, I wouldn't rule anything in or out right now. So the original five-level framework was brought in to be able to work at a county-by-county level. Now, we got to a point where this new variant was so contagious that actually that just didn't work. So national measures were required. So I wouldn't be ruling anything in or out. You know, do we do things at a county level? Do we do things at a regional level? Certainly, the prevalence of the virus is much higher in some areas than in others.
And that was Minister Stephen Donnelly there speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 to Noon show earlier today. Atlantis councillor says there are fears that a repeat of high COVID cases and deaths, such as what happened after Christmas, could happen again if restrictions are eased too much in the coming weeks. In contrast with South Inishowen, the Atlantis local electoral area has one of the lowest rates of the virus nationwide. Councillor Micheál Colomagla-Hosburg says there is concern in the area of potentially undoing a lot of good work if restrictions are lifted too early. He also says the long-term effects of COVID-19 are not being discussed enough.
As a country of 6.5 million people, I think we should have been able to control that a lot easier. And I suppose it harps back to the old question of a united Ireland would have left us in a better position here. But going back to your question about the Glantys electoral area, look, we're a population in the Glantys MD of roughly about, just roughly about 25,000 people. That says we're very lucky in the West here, and I have to say extremely lucky from being able to travel to our beaches, our Ulster mountains and our forest walks and whatnot. So we have quite a lot of open spaces. But the concern is that if they do open up again, as they did at Christmas, that we're going to be left facing what we faced in January and February, and that's deaths. In relation to people's illness and not being able to walk and people not being able to function the same as they were before they got COVID. That's a huge concern that doesn't seem to be factoring in a lot of people's minds.
And that was Councillor Micheál Colomagla-Hosburg there. Other news, and Gardaí say during the first 9 hours of National Slowdown Day, GoSafe checked the speed of 109,044 vehicles and detected 728 travelling in excess of speed limits. Among the notable detections in Donegal was a motorist doing 122 kilometres an hour in a 50 kilometre an hour zone on the R265 at Port Hall, Ballindrate, outside Lifford. Another was detected doing 118 kilometres an hour in a 100 kilometre zone on the N13 at Listillion, outside Letterkenny. A third was clocked travelling at 90 kilometres per hour in a 60 kilometre an hour zone on the N15 at Mullandrate, Stranorder. The speed enforcement operation began at 7 this morning and will run for 24 hours until 7 a.m. tomorrow. Chief Superintendent at the Garda National Traffic Bureau, Ray McMahon, says breaking the speed limit can have disastrous consequences.
Every 5 kilometres per hour makes a huge difference in the level of and the chances of somebody of a fatality occurring with someone that's hit at those speeds. So, you know, going from 50 kilometres an hour up to 60 kilometres, you're increasing substantially the chances of that accident becoming a fatal accident.
The Riverine project is a major step closer after confirmation that almost €9 million has been ring-fenced to help create the 30-acre community park across Strabane and Lifford. The long-awaited development is being funded through the EU's Peace 4 programme with matching funding from Dublin and Stormont. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
The ambitious project, which has been in the making for over a decade and has received considerable support from the community sector and local businesses, will encompass a number of uniquely designed elements. These elements will include a pavilion building, outdoor wetland and park space, a family fun space, cross-border pathways and greenways, and a newly constructed pedestrian footbridge across the River Foyle. Following its construction, the Riverine project will continue to promote sustained and meaningful cross-border and cross-community relations through a range of programmed activities targeted at various groups. This activity includes a community heritage engagement program, a culture and peace activity trail, a creative arts program, and a shared space connections project. The project represents a strong working cross-border partnership between lead partners, Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council, who will share the responsibility of its construction, delivery and maintenance.
The majority of services at Letterkenny University Hospital are back up and running. Over the past 3 weeks, services resumed on a staggered basis. Inpatient surgery resumed with a normal schedule on Monday of last week. All outpatient clinics have resumed, but at a reduced level. They'll return to full capacity over the coming weeks as staff are released from vaccination clinics. Oncology, fracture, breast and haematology clinics continued throughout the pandemic with appropriate distancing of patients. Councillor Kieran Brogan, a member of the HSE's Regional Health Forum West, says it's important that those who need care the most are referred to private hospitals to clear the waiting lists as quickly as possible.
Even during the very challenging times, services continued throughout with oncology and fracture and the breast and haematology clinics as well. So an awful lot of people have worked very hard over the course of the last number of months, and it's important to be recognised that, and it's great now that we have resumed the day surgery again for outpatients as well. And I think that's very important, that we try and get back to as near as normal as possible. And I suppose to acknowledge as well that, you know, there has been virtual calls taking place with patients as well, that I think is very important. So it's important that I suppose the needs of the patients are addressed. And I'm happy that, that we're getting back to near normal, because there was some people who, I suppose, had surgery and stuff cancelled over the last number of months. It was a very stressful time for them. So hopefully we're getting back to near normal.
Is it fair to say, though, the challenging times still remain, with probably a major backlog now in waiting lists across various areas of the hospital? That'll take a while to clear.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. But I think, in fairness to the people at the coalface, that I think their priority has been those that need the medical care most get the medical care, and I think that's important as well. And unfortunately, it was a stressful time, but I think, and I did emphasise at the meeting, that it's important that we, where it's needed, that people are referred to the private hospitals in either Sligo or Galway or Dublin, that those most in need of care get the care they need.
Councillor Kieran Brogan there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. The Dáil has been told there were more council homes delivered in Donegal in 2002 than in all of the past 11 years. Speaking during a debate on the Residential Tenancies Bill, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin said 560 council homes were built or acquired across the county in 2002. From the start of 2010 to the end of 2020, he said the figure was 543. These figures, he claimed, provide clear evidence of an intentional collapse in council and public housing in Donegal for over a decade.
That's the scale of the intentional failure in public housing in our county. What has that led to? As I speak today, over 2,300 families are renting in the private sector in Donegal under the housing assistance payment or the rental assistance scheme. Over 2,300 families. So this means that other families are struggling to find private rental accommodation, and if they are able to find it, they're paying way more than they would expect in the economy in Donegal. So what I'm painting here is a picture of intentionally designed failure in public housing. And I'm appealing to you, Minister, in your wrap-up speech today, to address what will be done in my county of Donegal. I'm sure every other TD could give similar examples, to address this serious failure that impacts so profoundly and creates the difficulties that have been dealt with in this legislation today. So, as I say, 1 year, 2002, 560 houses built or acquired. In the last 11 years, 543. That's a damning indictment of the failure.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
16 minutes past five. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. Fun Harps will be hoping to build on last week's victory over Bohemians as they make the trip to face Dundalk this evening. The match is an early kickoff. It's due to get underway in just under 30 minutes time at 5:45. We will have updates here on Highland starting just after the 6 o'clock news. Dundalk, of course, will be seeking to record their first win of the season, having played out a draw with Sligo Rovers last week. As for Harps, they do, of course, have injury problems. Carlo Sullivan, Conor Barry and Ryan Connolly were all forced off last weekend. New signing Han Jeong-Wo could make his debut for Dundalk after the South Korean winger is available after put pen to paper on a Thursday. So then, it could be a tough night for Harps at the office. Boss Ollie Horgan knows what lies ahead.
You know, you've got to gamble in some ways. If you sit back all day, they'll pick you off. They might only beat you one or two, as they've done before.
We'll have to take chances here and there to see does anything open at our end in their goal. Yep, it could leave us wide open at the other end as regards our own goal. But we'll have a cut off it to a degree and see where it gets us. I mean, we got a great draw up there last year, but exactly this time last year we played them at home. We took a cut off it in the Bettis 4-0, and we played well that day. That's what we ended up with. They're a serious outfit. They're right up there. They fancy themselves to win that league.
Well, Hearts, of course, do have two away games in the space of 8 days after tonight. They'll be back in Louth next Saturday when they play Drogheda. A couple of points out of both of those games would certainly add to what has been a good start for Hearts to the league. Former goalkeeper at Finn Park is Buncrana man Gavin Cullen, and he feels that Hearts can push on this year.
After the COVID shutdown, they come back. I think they had a great run of form last season. And it looks like it's bringing a confidence and bringing a belief into the squad coming into this season. And they've obviously kicked on from that. They've signed some very good players. They've kept some very good players. And there is an expectation that possibly, you know, and even coming from Ollie himself, which is good and positive that they can push on and they maybe can get another place or two up the table. And it'd be brilliant to see them sustaining Premier League football for a period of time where they can build on it, you know. But then that's up to the club behind the scenes and stuff then to push on to see how far they can go, because it takes a lot of fun, a lot of money and a big effort to actually climb that league in terms of professionalism and stuff. So it's difficult. Like, I personally don't see them in a relegation scrap. I think they're better than the Longfords, they're better prepared Longfords, the Drogheda's, possibly the Derrys, you know, at this point in time. But again, time will tell.
Hearts, of course, do have Dundalk tonight. Gets underway at 6:15. Also this evening, Sligo Rovers are away to Waterford United at the RSC. Kicks off at 7:45. And the new First Division season gets underway tonight as well. Cork City entertaining Cove Ramblers in a big derby to start things. John Caulfield's Galway take on Shelburne. Athlone go to UCD and Wexford play host to Cabinteely. Meanwhile, Fun Harps have launched their new third kit in association with the Donegal Down Syndrome Association. The purple jersey represents the national colour of Down Syndrome Ireland. The crest of the Donegal Down Syndrome Association will appear on the front of the jersey. The jersey is currently available at funharps.ie. Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny says Aaron Connolly is up against it to be fit to face Luxembourg tomorrow night. A since-deleted tweet from the FEA this afternoon claimed the Brighton striker had been ruled out of the game at the Aviva. Connolly only returned from a rib injury in Wednesday's defeat to Serbia and suffered from cramp during the game. But Connolly has shared an Instagram video in the past hour from Brighton Beach. Kenny was happy with the contributions of James Collins and Shane Long off the bench in Belgrade during the week and hope they can continue that this weekend.
Yeah, I was quite pleased, really, that, you know, obviously they were both involved in the goal. In fact, all the substitutes were involved in the second goal. We've got good options, and Troy Parrott also, you know, is in the picture as well.
In cricket, William Porterfield and Gary Wilson have been appointed to coaching consultancy positions within the Ireland setup. Porterfield, who will work as a fielding coach, has also been named as assistant coach for the North West Warriors. He will combine his coaching roles with his existing playing commitments with the Warriors and indeed Ireland. Wilson, who is the Warriors head coach and pathway manager, will also assist Ireland as a wicket-keeping coach. Turning our attention now to golf, Shane Lowry is looking to finish the WGC match play campaign with a win after two defeats. He's taken on Sebastian Munz and is one up with seven to play. Rory McIlroy goes out after 5:30, needing to beat Cameron Smith, while he's hoping Lanto Griffin beats Ian Poulter if he is to progress in the competition there. Entering round two of the Corals Championship in the Dominican Republic, Padraig Harrington is 3 under par, while Graham McDowell is 2 under, and Seamus Power is level par, the man that heads the field there is Stefan Jäger at 6 under. And at the Kenyan Savannah Classic, Cormac Sharvin wrapped up with a final round 69 for 8 under par and a tie for 48th earlier today. Jonathan Caldwell carried a 74 in the final day. He finished on 7 under, and there's a tie at the top leading the way at 21 under par. Daniel Van Torden and Thailand's Jazz Jane Watanod are the leaders in that one. In rugby, Leinster head coach Neil Cullen has left Irish internationals Johnny Sexton, Tadhg Furlong and James Lowe on the bench for tomorrow's Pro 14 final against Munster at the RDS. On the other hand, Munster coach Juan Van Gran has decided to play out half Joey Carberry, by naming the strongest possible side for the decider. And the destination of the Six Nations Championship will be decided tonight. France take on Scotland in Paris, needing a 21.1 plus a bonus point to wrestle the title away from Wales. Kick-off at the Stade de France is at 8 o'clock. That's your sport for today, Donal. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening.
Thank you very much indeed. Oisín agus an nocht a léamh ag Colm Ferreter.
Seamur maith sa Colm Ferreter an seán an príomh scéalta. Tá an fact is seas suas don gaeltacht a Robert ag Conrú na gaeilge faoi láthart chun aithantas a bhaint amach don na ceantart gaeltachta Heart, Air and Cheer. Tá ní díor san aontas Eorpa iní ag go leor tíníthe a wailiu da actas con na réidiún in a lóri tar a djanga duhis a ahanch agus con tachir da hórt stífa. Tá jai míle sinu a yol con éirin an ahantas cairna wancha ma da na cant. Ar gailtachta ga hólas a conru ni gailig a bonkai í. Tá glóra ni gail a glácu le hirathis ar yontas o chlobana a ta clárihe la fondur ag chosa vectonaha la hain na skéma com an lúchla scéal am liana. Tá Jontas just suas leath vile euro ar fáil do chlubana atá rán fartus a scéim Changa a chur an úsaid agus fólam na gaelig a chun tosaí a másc an phobal. Tug tar chorú do chlubana Changmul a dhéanú leis an áfaga forbartha áitiúil glóir na gael chun fórum iarratha se áil sa gaholas ag glóir na gael bongai í. Tá se fógraithe go bhfuil scéim Jontas Colm Kelle oscailte faoi láthair is é an céad spreachtáta na an séal a déag de mí ibrin. Be fáilte roimh iarratais ar thionscadal a chuirint nasc le pobal géalaige na héirin agus na halabin chun cin. Agus amara de saharn siófar an lór úr aisteirí gídóir ní déag trocha sa héin go dí ortfa sa héin scrífa ag dramadóir nóla galahar. Cártar síos sa lór ar imeachtaí agus éachtaí an grúpa dramaíochta lonnithe an iarthúsceart dúna nál sta sávaras stara áitiúil, léirithe dramaíthe an chomain agus íhanna a harangiú dena haisteirí le linn na tréimh se an. Seolthar an lór ar YouTube amara idir 8 o'clock agus lahanné an ní agus imeacht si ar náisce atán agus tá gáholas ar fáil ar na mán sóisialta faoin imeacht sin. Tá an lór uair ar fáil sna siopaí áitiúla. Sim mo hoid sa illi go léir slán agus bannacht.
Colm agus Colm agus an eis on I'm sure showers continuing for a time this evening and tonight with hail, sleet and snow on higher ground. Most areas becoming dry and clear by morning. Lowest overnight temperatures -1 to +1 degrees Celsius, bringing a risk of frost in sheltered areas. Moderate to fresh southwest to west winds, occasionally strong in coastal regions, will gradually ease light to moderate overnight. A dry and sunny start tomorrow with clouds spreading from the west through the morning, bringing outbreaks of rain and drizzle through the afternoon and evening. Rain turning heavy at times in the northwest later. Highest temperatures 8 or 9 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh southwest winds, increasing fresh to strong by afternoon, reaching near gale force at times, particularly in northern coastal areas. Main stories in brief this evening. The latest Central Statistics Office figures show that 147 people in Donegal have died with COVID-19 since the pandemic began. There were 8,863 cases diagnosed in the county. The median age of cases has fallen from 39 to 38. The median age of the deceased remains at 83. North of the border, no COVID-related deaths recorded today for the third day in a row. 181 new positive cases confirmed. A Dublin GP says there is no evidence that the reopening of schools has caused a rise in COVID cases. The Health Minister says no private school should have received vaccines from a private hospital. It's after the Beacon Hospital decided to give leftover vaccines to 20 teachers and staff from a private school. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. the eviction notices for this Friday evening, the 26th of March. The death has taken place of Anna Spence, née McKelland, formerly of Mullanan. Funeral service in D&R Hay Funeral Home on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in McGovern Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Western Health and Social Care Trust of McGovern Hospital Ward 4, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director. In accordance with current guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Anne Canavan, Neil Lynch, Abui, Alia, Inverin, County Galway, and formerly of Upper Anna, Clonmany, County Donegal. Funeral Mass will take place on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Knock Church, Inverin, with burial afterwards in Knock Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, funeral and burial are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/Shepale and Onion 2. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice. The death has taken place of Peter Doyle, Carorea, Bridgend. Requiem Mass tomorrow in St. Angus's Church, Burt, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake and requiem mass are strictly limited to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Peter's requiem mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt. And the death has taken place of Hugh McDermott, Drumbrick Terman. Hugh's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral tomorrow with requiem mass at 12 noon in St. Columbus Church, Terman, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the house funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Hugh's requiem mass can be viewed on the St. Columbus Church, Terman Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Daffodil Day, care of any family member.